Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, guns in the back, and I real quick, so we can do this here. Bam, bam. Some information I'm not up to speed with, so I'm gonna need y'all tap in with us, y'all. Our slated subjects. Let me get calling number again for you. 9-9-4-7-7-3-7-3-5. Press one. Let me preface and say I'm self-critical. I don't have my coffee cup with me. I'm self-critical. I did not like doing no commercials for these jokers of y'all. I had to grab some coffee. Been running nonstop. I mean, like, literally, Maywood, Chicago, Waukegan, you know, case of, you know, in New Orleans, Alabama. Dude, right back at you. No doubt about it. Yes, indeed. 929-477-3785. Then press 1.
Free them all, Brother Jim.
Free them all,
Brad. We have Sister Tracy on the line. Free them all.
Okay, free them all.
Bear with us 1 second. Okay, you're going to bring a call in 1 second. Wait, bear with us 1 second. Hold on. We're talking about, of course, April 4th, 2023, election, Chicago election, mayoral election. Mayor Brandon Johnson polled Paul Dallas. I think his last count was 51% of the votes, 49%. Your thoughts, your comments, your input. Talking about also the appeal on, make sure I say this correctly, this is the sixth appeal denied to long-held political prisoner, Mumia Abu-Jamal. Again, Mumia Abu-Jamal, code red, super intense. We got to continue to press, you know what I'm saying? So we're looking for some phone calls, calling in, strategizing some mobilizations to continue to organize. That was a heavy hit we took. Going to keep on swinging. We're looking for a phone call from Mumia Abu-Jamal's grandson. Also, ironically, this is his, today or yesterday was his wife's birthday, who made a physical transition, I think, two weeks ago. And ironically, you know what I'm saying, time to that. So that's the case with Mumia Abu-Jamal we're going to be talking about. Also, quote-unquote, coincidental last night, stabbing death of, got the individual's name, the person that's supposed to have created Cash App. And, you know, to put in context what's going on, too, talking about in Malaysia and other parts of the world, talking about, you know, getting away from the American dollar, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, even economics is political, so we're going to talk about that. What's your thoughts on that? Donald Trump, your thoughts on that? You know, a lot of historical things are happening. You know, again, in historical context, first former U.S. president being indicted, because like even former U.S. President Richard Nixon was impeached, but not indicted. That's a different discussion, like actually criminally charged. Your thoughts on that? You know, the smoke screen was something, your input, so on and so forth. So feel free to call in the club, being on. What's your thoughts about that? And again, historical election yesterday evening, and this came in from Walt Keegan. I'm talking about that. Move to a piece of paper. Miss my mind. Come to me 1 minute. Had a commemoration at Walt Keegan. So much to my mind. And the mother's Michael Walker's father, Dorothy Holmes, mother Ronald Man Johnson, Chantel, her. So many mothers, the parents, obviously parents were there, and you know what I'm saying? I missed the important aspect of it was. It refers to the healing circle. Let's talk about that. The cousin, Sterling, who's murdered, who y'all forgive me, I'm moving so fast. Not bad, if Baton Rouge, Louisiana, but the police. And the outcry, you know, like I'm hearing her outcry. Screams, you know what I'm saying, from people who lost, whose sons and daughters were murdered, and just, man, screams you heard yesterday. It's a continuous reminder of the impact of police terrorism. Again, y'all feel free to call in, come in with us. You know what I'm saying? I hope some of the mothers can call in themselves, some of the fathers can call in themselves. Open door, that's what it is, 929-477-7785. We got some hot subjects to roll on, y'all. You know, some historical times. So your thoughts, you know, where you at with it, you know, seeing enough. Let's go with it. Press 1, 929-477-3785. Press 0. I'm also on your hearts and minds. I mentioned this, I just came from Alabama. When I was in Alabama and most other places, I don't know when y'all see us tag teaming, you know what I'm saying? I don't think Cortez Rice was there this time. So Bianca, Auntie Breonna Taylor, Dicka Blake, but he was there, even if he wasn't physically there, he was there on the road. He had to work that day or something, you know. But he couldn't physically do that. That was another case. We just left another case together. Got the news early this morning. Around my time I wake up, you know, give up a minute. Jacob Blake had give me a call. Cortez Rice, talking about his cases. So his son was murdered in school. Was in a real intense, serious car accident. And we, you know what I'm saying, and they say that they immediately had to take him to surgery. So we want to keep them on our hearts and minds, keep you updated on that. So we're going to, you know, hopefully, ideally, we get a phone call from him himself telling us, you know, man, I'm, you know, not better, you know what I'm saying, scrapes and bruises, but it was a serious car accident. So we're going to keep him on our minds and hearts, hit his Facebook up and all that, you know, so let him know we're thinking about him. Again, that's Cortez Rice. So we're talking about that also, y'all. You know, y'all bring attention to us on that. Come on in with it. 929-477-3785. Press 1. Welcome to Free Them All Radio.
Free Them All, Brother Chapman. Okay, we have Sister Creasy back on the line. Free Them All.
Right on. Free Them All, welcome to Free Them All Radio. Calling you.
She's there. She may be mute. Sister Tracy, your mic is live.
Free them all. Can you hear me?
Yeah, welcome to my radio show. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, hi, Chairman. I was just listening in. I want to just hear out the topics with you starting off.
Again, what's up? What's going on? I'm gonna tell you, can we end it out?
Can you hear me?
Are you going in and out? You going in and out?
No, I just wanted to check it. I'm just listening in for now, but I did wanted to know how it's going with the young man down in McKeith in Alabama, how that turnout was going on, when they going to have another court date for him or whatever. They haven't already set a court date for McKeith.
For those who just tapping in with us, the case of McKeith Smith, who is now approximately 22 years of age, but at the time was 15. Again, I repeat, 15. Was sentenced in the state of Alabama. See, Mr. Checkpoint, checking in with us now. We were down in Alabama. Tina, his mother, grandfather, family, grandmother, everyone down there. Two phenomenal. In fact, we did a serious brainstorming update again. Cortez Rice again, Bianca, Jacob Blake, and others. Let someone tap in. Let me know if it's an up-to-date status we have. Could we mobilize it now? Because what happened, the judge initially gave this 15-year-old child 65 years. Gave him 65 years in a case where the surrounding suburb is supposedly on the helmet, a burglary. And you might say, what's the big deal? You hit different turns throughout, and the deal is, you know, everything is, like, a lot of times you slip over certain terms. I didn't mean to say it that way. Let me just express the significance in regard to the law. You know, so you're going to say, what is robbery, armed robbery? The amount of time, the window of time that the person can be issued. It's extraordinary, you know, it's different, you know, in terms of habitual offender act, you know, if you've been locked up before, all this is important. 929, someone give a tap in there for us again. 929-477-3785. Tap in for us again, press 1. This was not a home invasion, but what they said was a burglary. In other words, no one was in the home. This is technically a home invasion. You come to someone's home, someone, you know, it was occupied. And these children were to put them in a burglary. And actually, in the state, said to get video games. And this is about a state's account. And the police murdered the other individual. You know what I'm saying? Murdered the other individual. And they suddenly murdered. And they don't even say that Lakeith did murder. But Lakeith was given, you know, 65 years sentences, went for re-sentencing 8 years later. And so the injury was decreased down to 35 years. So we're still fighting for justice for Lakeith Smith. Lakeith Smith back on the street, back with his family. By the community, you know, so he belongs. And so yes, so we got to call and tap in with us on that. Then we want to get definitely your thoughts. What's happening here in Chicago? What's happening? Wisconsin. Wisconsin has some extraordinary elections. Also, feel free, Maywood, some election seasons, and bring us to speak your thoughts. This is, I think, Chicago stands out, and Wisconsin they're talking about, because, you know, a major defining factor, you know, saying, about American politics in general, the race question was something that could not be afforded. So this is something that we'll see. What's your thoughts on that and how you assess it? So, we have a call. We'll call in a minute. Let us know the update. If there's any more court dates on Lakeith Smith. As of now, I don't know any set the next court date is set for Lakeith Smith. But in the meantime, between time, we still encourage you to correspond with Lakeith Smith. You know what I'm saying? So, let us support. I have to go to your website. So, I'll give us the website, the Lakeith Smith. We want to get that posted also. So give us 5 seconds, five seconds to 5 minutes at the most, and we're going to post that website up there for Lakeith Smith. We're live and direct and free on my radio here, International Radio, still making history, taking history, taking history. The streets are still hot. They're talking about, you know what I'm saying, what's happening. You know what I'm saying? This is the second black mayor, after former Harold Washington, and that was, I say black, I think it was something that was undeniable. Like, it was the race question in Chicago, because the president mayor, you know, I go on Mayor Lightfoot, and even in her own vernacular, I said a lot of times it struggles about, you know, the term people of color, you know, and so on and so forth. And that's, you know, that's like a taboo term, just even acknowledging yourself, so just even saying the word black. And, you know, it is ironic that you're saying, like, you know, metropolis, a lot of cities you see, whether it be Atlanta, Detroit, where you can see, like, majority black populace, but you've seen different, you know, words and history about black mayors. But Chicago, again, that once heralded the largest population per capita per black people, you would think there would have been more black mayors. But again, neocolonialism is another number that is an extraordinary work in this city. In other words, white power disguised in black faces. And you may have, you've seen different people in position, whether, you know, black aldermen, so on and so forth. But it was, if you go back and look at the timeline for the infamous Daily Machine, though they had different, you know, set black faces in different spots, like, you know, precinct captains, aldermen, so on and so forth. But to be the actual face of the machine, who's in the infamous Democratic machine in particular, you know what I'm saying? You got to not go think about the mayor daily. You see, you know, pass around hands, was still staying in the circle of the Rahm Emanuels and the likes. And so people says now, where's it stand now? And I discussion, what's the difference between electoral politics and politics? We're going to have a discussion for that. Now, the record, free of my radio, locked in, loaded, making history, taking history, taking history. Any other calls in queue? Bear with us. So Tracy, just stay posted, looking. We'll have a caller call in, give us an actual update, answer your question directly, as well as give you a website to check.
Free them all, Brother Chairman. We have Brother Jamal Jr. Free them all.
Welcome to Free them all Radio. Who we have here again?
Hey, what's going on, Fred? Chairman?
My brother, okay, right on. Y'all forgive us. We have some, I guess, this is the second calling to call in. It's like going in and out. So forgive us, bear with us, or we say cut with us. We have, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal's grandson. We have one line with us. Introduce yourself for us, little brother, man. First of all, good to hear you. I hate it. It's good, you know what I'm saying? I wish we were talking. You were calling in with some other different updates, but we're going to talk win, lose, you know what I'm saying, however this go, you know what I'm saying, the highs and lows of struggle, as opposed to we're not going to be no fair weather friends. So give us, who are you, and, you know what I'm saying, we're going to get to the heart of, you know, why we talk, why we got to talk, why we can't afford enough not to talk and walk. In other words, you know, why we can't, we got to continue to organize. So that's where we are. My sister Tanya in the building, good evening to you as well. My sister Asia in the building, right on, fam. Free them all, you know what I'm talking about. Comrade Stan McKinney in the building, one of the advisors, Black Panther Party, cuz boy. That's what it is. That vision, that minister, UEP News said, the spirit of people is willing to master knowledge. You got to believe it. Yes, indeed. Welcome, my brother. Who do we have here online with us? So I
hey,
here.
People. Hey, people. My name is Jamal Jr. I'm the grandson of political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mumia Abu-Jamal, being a long supporter of African struggles in the United States, and also a big supporter of struggles all throughout the world.
It's again, y'all, this is Jamal Jr., grandson of long-held political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal, author of so many books, former deputy of deputy minister of information for the Philadelphia branch, Pittsburgh chapter of the Black Panther. Philadelphia branch, Pennsylvania, I guess chapter of the Black Panther Party, covered down on so many cases, mainstream cases, you name it. Also, but in particular, you know what I'm saying, actually working in the Move family, because a lot of work on the Move family has been on death row, has literally, Mumia Abu-Jamal has literally kissed the casket, tangled with torture, and danced with death. Again, kissed the casket, tangled with torture, and danced with death. He's been given death, death dates, literally. I recall in 1995, when I was in the infamous Galesburg prison, opposition was that Mumia don't move, nothing moves. I mean, rogue strikes everything. We were successfully get Mumia off, technically, of death row. In the face of all the evidence that the people have put forward, you know, this latest court hearing was, you know, saying, and keep in mind also in context, the conditions that he's been held under. You've seen some of the photographs of Abu Ghraib Baghdad with the prisoners. The guards shown how they had prisoners stacked on top of each other naked, dogs being on their private parts, on their groins, et cetera. And one of the guards was a guard named Grainer that actually worked as SCI Green when Mumia Abu-Jamal was here, Captain Vet. So he's up, he's 69, I can't remember his exact age. He's up in age, y'all, you know what I'm saying? This question, we really kind of, push the pedal to the metal again. I know we commend the people, because, you know what I'm saying? It has been the people that has kept Mumia alive, and I'm not just talking about the morale question, I'm talking about the security question, you know what I'm saying? So we at a stage now, again, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal's grandson. We're talking now. We're talking, you know, saying, what happened to this let me make sure I'm correct. This is the, what this happened, was this a Sixth Circuit? Or give us the make sure I'm wording this correctly.
It was a common pleas court judge, Lucretia Clemens, who released the inmate from prison back in May 2021, where prosecutors illegally withhold evidence of innocence and called the man languished in prison for nearly 30 years on a wrongful murder conviction. So she's familiar with cases like Mumia, right? But the same judge, Lucretia Clemens, just last week, she refused to give my grandfather a new evidentiary hearing or his freedom, which the law requires. Evidentiary hearing because of back in 2018 now, boxes of hidden evidence was discovered in the new DA's storage. And inside of those boxes, the star witness of the prosecution beseeched the then DA, McGill, for his payment, saying, "Where's my money?" Right?
Can you repeat that for us again? So what happened?
I said inside of the boxes that was discovered in Larry Krasner, that's the current DNA's, the current DA's storage facility or storage room, was boxes marked Mumia Abu-Jamal, right? Clearly. And inside of those boxes, the star witness of his original trial was beseeching the DA for his money. Where's my money? What? No clear as day. We actually have it posted on social media on lovenotfear.com. Lucretia Clemens was supposed to, you know, see truth and see the reason why Mumia's imprisonment is wrongful, right? Based on her track record with cases, we suspected that she would, you know, do the right thing. And in the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, there's a thing called the Mumia exception, where in any other case that will get somebody, in any other instance that will get somebody home, when it comes to Mumia, he's the exception, right? And in this case, it was the same. So she struck down his PCRA claim on a Brady violation, right? Of course, witnesses. And basically, like, you can threaten witnesses, you can bribe witnesses and such, but you can't do that because it's illegal. And this definitely happened in Mumia's case, where we have Cynthia Wright going on record about being scared and about, you know, just how aggressive the Philadelphia cops were, right? And, you know, it comes to a point where we all have to think about what we're fighting for. And when it comes to political prisoners and free them all, it has to be just that, right? We can't have anybody half-stepping, because people that are half-stepping or saying that they support justice and they support, you know, people coming home because of, you know, being locked up on false and aggressive statements, like, They can't get a free pass, you know, when being silent about Mumia, and that bodes true to the current district attorney Larry Krasner, and that also bodes true to this new face that Philadelphia is trying to put on, this liberal face that they're trying to do, like, you know, make a better law system, because we know there's no way to make a better law system for especially black and brown people in America. But he was refused, and this was, and for reference or for a framing, that this was Mumia's best chance at freedom in the last 20 years, right? So we're going to keep going back. We're going to keep trying to do what we can do and keep appealing, and we're going to hit these streets hard because, you know, we can't have it. We can't have them pat us on the back and then stab it at the same time.
Right on. Listen, we live in direct in regards to so many issues, but you know what I'm saying, particularly right now we're speaking in regards to the latest update on the case of long-held political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal. Again, long-held political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal. We have the grandson of Mumia Abu-Jamal just called in with us. Then reiterating some of the blatant contradictions, you know what I'm saying? Someone's posted up there that the judge is a black judge, a woman. And this is the deal is with politics, you know what I'm saying? And we distinguish electoral politics from politics. And this judge was known, you know what I'm saying, to move with logic, you know, or to be fair, deal with these particular cases. We've seen with the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, the blatant contradiction. And, you know what I'm saying, and the best support, the key support, and the cause of those in particular, that are, and people in general, but also servants of the people, is that of the people. So we are reiterating, you know, reiterating the really, I mean, this case, this campaign of Mumia Abu-Jamal, we really got, you know what I'm saying, intense heat in regards to, you know what I'm saying, getting his comrade, his brother back, you know what I'm saying, back to the community he belongs. You know, he's, you know what I'm saying, he took hit after hit, health issue after health issue. And again, we've seen, you know, so again, through the courts, we have Abu-Jamal has spoken to people when they, a lot of people are not, you know, couldn't even figure how he was even updated, you know, so how he got, you know, he is truly representative of the party, Black Panther Party states that information is raw material for new ideas. So we need that. We need his contact. Again, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal's grandson. You know, so I just seen this young brother in California. We just spoke together, myself, him, Frederica Newton, the widow, as well as the nephew of Minister U.E.P. Newton. It was a phenomenal event. And his brother, I mean, it was something, you know what I'm saying? Again, you know, just hearing, you know, hearing them, seeing them. And I'm proud of you. And you know what I'm saying? I know, this, you know what I'm saying, this is burdensome to say, that just put it lightly, you know what I'm saying? We've had this type of conversation, but we're gonna keep on fighting. We're going to keep on struggling. What contact information can you give us in regards to keep updated on the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, your contact information, and, again, what's any short-range, you know what I'm saying, goals or tactics, but moves that's supposed to happen, like, you know, demonstrations, what have you, that people are working on, and people don't know who had any contact to get involved or and support. The case will be up with Jamal. So Jamal Green. Yes, sir.
So the campaign that I'm working with is called Love Not Fear. That's LoveNotPhear. And you can spell that on all social media, from TikTok to Instagram, which it's probably the fastest and more direct way to get in contact with me, or getting plugged in to the things that we have going on. You can also go to lovenotfear.com. You can email lovenotfear@gmail.com. The last Jamal at iCloud.com, that's my email. And we're always looking for support. We're always looking for, you know, ways that we can kind of bolster the street movement, to free Mumia Abu Jamal, because as we saw, the courts refuse to follow their laws that they written and they read and they studied and decided that Lucretia Clemens decided to side with known racist judge Albert Sabo, who, you know, at the start of my grandfather's original trial, infamously said, "I'm going to help them fry the nigger." Right?
Yes.
She showed the side.
As soon as you mentioned Judge Sabo's name, my mind went right there. Again, this is the previous judge. I'm going to help them fry the nigger. This is the judge. As soon as Jamal's Junior, Mumia Abu Jamal's grandson, when he mentioned that, I remember that whole discussion. I must talk about that. Yeah. So I'm glad, you know, let's not talk about race. Let's talk about politics. And, well, you shouldn't deal. You shouldn't utilize the race card. Now, our position is that white power dealt the deck, and capitalism controls the cards. So again, white power dealt the deck, and capitalism controls the cards. We are, you know, with the hand we've been blue, that we've been given. You know what I'm saying? So I recall that. Okay, my fault. I didn't mean to cut you off, young brother. Go ahead.
No. It's true, man. Like this is the original person who sentenced my grandfather. The crime scene was doctored, and it was an incorrect crime scene presented in the original trial. But this is stuff that happens to everybody that goes to court. Especially when they black and brown, like in this criminal justice system. The crazy part is, in Mumia's case, everyone around the world sees this trial as a sham trial, sees imprisonment, you know, as a way for Pennsylvania and those who want to, like, really uplift, you know, crucifying a black radical, right? Like, everyone around the world can see that this is a sham. And Pennsylvania, the people that say that they're trying to do the right thing, that they want to do the best thing, they not willing to take the heat for Mumia Abu Jamal, for doing the right thing when it comes to Mumia Abu Jamal. And that's not right. That's not right. Like we can't be a society, we can't be in a society with these liberals and these, you know, false leaders talking about they want to move forward by leaving the brothers that's still alive behind. You know, the only reason that we're here is because Mumia Abu Jamal survived the shot at the crime scene. He survived being beat to a pulp by the police. He survived 40 years of imprisonment at SCI Green, one of the worst prisons in the state, right? Like he survived, and, you know, we got to do what we got to do to make sure that he doesn't survive just to die in prison, because that's not right.
Jamal, you mentioned Mumia Abu Jamal, your grandfather, has been locked up for 40 years?
42 years, I believe. He's 68. 42 I think
years.
He was locked up when he was 28.
Years. Question.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 35 years old. I have children.
I
have great grandchildren.
You have children. You're 35 years old. How is it? Again, ladies and gentlemen, just tuning in, brothers and sisters, just tuning in. We're live in the record with the grandson of Mumia Abu Jamal. My question is, man, you being 35 years old, Mumia Abu Jamal has been locked up 40 years. What is it? What do you attribute to? The impact, how is it that people that was standing around North Dakota challenging the pipelines, the indigenous community, people, other prisoners who never met with me up with Jamal, with different communities throughout the world. My first time leaving the country, I was went to France with Pan Africa, Mon Africa, and others. People that talk about it was a street name in honor of Mumia Abu Jamal. What do you attribute it? What impact do you see that people that relate and that talk about this case of Mumia Abu Jamal, as well as if you can take it to your front doorstep for us? You are 35. Passion, connection. I mean, of course, it's your grandfather, but you being, he's never been on the streets since you've been alive. Mm-hmm. And Mumia, what do you attribute that to? What is something you attribute it to, that connection that people are still pushing and relating, you know what I'm saying, to see the symbolism of the case of Mumia Abu Jamal. For political prisoners and just, as I mentioned earlier, cases in general, you know what I'm saying, challenging the pipelines, so, you know, that you just mentioned dealing with, his, you know what I'm saying, how it impacts you dealing with your children. What do you attribute that to?
So, let me preface it with, you know, I first was able to hug my grandfather when I was 25 years old. My oldest child was being born. She had just been born. When you are the family of political prisoners, in many ways you're incarcerated too, right? And when it comes to Mumia Abu Jamal, he's like not just a political prisoner in many sense, right? He's a famous political prisoner, right? And it's beautiful to see so much solidarity around the world for Mumia. It's beautiful, right? And I talk to him a lot. And you know, he loves the love that he receives, right? And you know, Mumia, he's always been a selfless person, right? So he loves the love that he receives, and he disperses it to others, right? He disperses it to uplift and to really shine a light on others, which is a hard thing to do when you're free. It's even harder when you've been there for 5 years, but you've been in there for 40-plus years, and he's still doing it. You know, I attribute my grandfather's survival to the people that's in the streets, but I do attribute his continued imprisonment to cowardice, racism, and the lack of care for black peoples in this country. I attribute his continued imprisonment to that, because remember, he's 68 years old. He just survived the double bypass.
How old is your grandfather again?
He's 68 years old. He'll be 69 on April 24th, and there will be birthday events all around the world. I know in Oakland we're erecting a mural. I know in Philly we're erecting a mural. I'm trying to see if I can get a mural erected in Detroit and Chicago.
I'm brainstorming as you talk. We put out a call to get some. Some other topics we're talking about today also. We want to get a mural erected in Chicago and Maine also. So for Mumia Abu Jamal, who will be 69 years, April 24th. So y'all hit us up, inbox, get us to ASAP. I don't answer my Instagram as much as I should, but Mumia Abu Jamal's grandson is on here. And I think he's more technically advanced than I am, I think. So Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm in Chicago. I got an artist is going to get this place, and we put out a call, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sure space won't be no problem, you know what I'm saying? And, Maywood, Chicago, other places. So and other places. So y'all feel free. I mean, let's take this on. Because, matter of fact, you can kind of trigger me. You know, trigger some. I'm trying to hold my tongue. But I'm going to go ahead and cut out the bag in a minute about this movie coming out for August with Chairman Fred. You know what I'm saying? We really, like, up to Annie, you know what I'm saying? But, again, we just, okay, from Mumi Abu-Jamal, 68 years old, will be 69, April 24th. This is Mumi Abu-Jamal's grandson. We're talking about already Philadelphia and other places. So we're talking New Orleans branch, Louisiana, all the branches of the Cubs, Black Panther Party Cubs, there, or people, you know what I'm saying, supporters at. In fact, the whole in Africa, let's see if we get any context there. From Mumi Abu-Jamal's 69th birthday, you know what I'm saying, I mean, again, we just took a hell of a blow. We just took a hell of a blow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The denial on this appeal. Mumi Abu-Jamal. Let's keep the momentum moving. Let's get some commitments. You know what I'm saying? On this, get these mural, big murals I'm talking about, erected for April 24th. Let's find some sites. Get some commitments done. You know what I'm saying? Get that done. And I'm going to tell y'all before we conclude, we'll be playing off August 30th for Chairman Fred. But go ahead, brother. Make sure y'all get in contact with us. And he's gonna give his Instagram again out too, though. But go ahead, again, Jamal Joyner, the grandson of Mumi Abu-Jamal. And you think it's something to hear him talk? I just touched down with him. I just came off the stage with him in San Francisco. We did the event. We had the nephew of Minister UEP doing this man. The widow of Minister UEP doing. We had this brother man. He came. You know, it was something. But he's. Man, 35 years old, and he's talking about the impact. And the first time he was able to embrace his grandfather was when was that? When was that again?
One more time. Well, first time I hugged.
When was the first time you said you were able to embrace to hug your grandfather? How old were you?
25 years old. 25 years old.
25 years old. Man, you 25 years old when we was on death row, and a lot of people said it was a uphill battle. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about just the struggle in general. People tell you stuff is not worth fighting for. Whether, you know, so whatever you feel, we're going to talk about this, you know what I'm saying? And, man, I remember going on a visit with me, Abu-Jamal. He was still on death row then. And I want to go visit. Me and Pam was talking to her. I can talk about it now. My visit was about to conclude, and I ran over to the other side to catch Russell Maroon Schultz, who made his transition, another long-held political prisoner. And there was no contact. They had no physical contact when we Abu-Jamal out there. We got him off death row, technically, but they still trying to kill him in one way or another. They still trying to kill him in one way or another, y'all. And they tried tuberculosis, different forms of chemical biological warfare. We got to press this here. You know, so that's one aspect what we're doing to bring attention to this case. So hit them artists up, you know what I'm saying? Man, we want to find that space. You know what I'm saying? We're going to do a big thing right there in front of their location. But go ahead, brother. Go ahead with what you were saying before I cut you off. My fault. Go ahead.
No, it's fine, you know. And so, like, you know, just the impact of Bumia's imprisonment, I believe, like, set precedent for how the courts treat black people and brown people in the courts, because Mumia's case was not only a case of reasonable doubt, but as we dug into it after the decades and a decade, we dug into it. It's a case built on lies and really powered by racism and, you know, people who want to just, you know, be buddy-buddy inside of Pennsylvania rather than giving a man his freedom or the freedom that shouldn't have been taken away. And what I wanted to kind of end on is I was doing a panel up here in Northern California with other activists, and it dawned on me, you know, Mumia's the case or Mumia's situation is a situation of police violence. It's a situation of prosecutorial misconduct. It's a situation of elder abuse, right? Because he's 68 years old. He survived the double bypass. He survived like multiple ailments, and you know, the prison is not designed for elders to survive, right? They give them little to no health care. They make sure that they try to kill them with the diet. Like we have to have people go up and see my grandfather as much as possible just so we can get a salad, right? Just so we can get fruits and vegetables, right? These are the conditions that Mumia is living under. It's the same conditions that everybody's living under, right? But I do want to, like, really, really think about how we talk about Mumia Abu-Jamal and other political prisoners, because their issues are today's issues, right? Like, even though they try to compartmentalize today's issues and say that, like this is police violence, that this is court violence, this is racism. No, it's everything altogether. Like, we have one war, and that war is against capitalism and racism, right? Like we just can't pick a battle and be like, yo, that's what we're gonna fight for. We need to fight. Like, I always say, you know, like there's a lot of people out here willing to fight the symptoms, but we need to just fight the disease. And as long as we band up and fight the disease, the symptoms will alleviate.
So you're right. Y'all hearing that from Jamal Jr. Give us your contact information one more time, y'all, brother, before you leave. If you get you up in Chicago,
yeah,
man, stay in contact. Man, I love you, man. Give your grandpa's my love. Give your family my love. Give the community my love. Give your contact information one more time for us.
Sweet. The Last Jamal on all social media. Love Not Fear, and Fear is spelled P-H-E-A-R on all social media. LoveNotFear@gmail.com. The Last Jamal at iCloud.com. And, you know, let's keep it going. Let's keep the solidarity. And thank you very much, Chairman, for having me on your show.
Thank you, man. Anytime, anywhere, man. Love and respect. We got your back. We got your chest like a bulletproof vest, y'all. We live in the records. We're making history, taking history, taking history. I'm going to talk about something else, too, y'all. Okay, y'all, with me, I'm with my grandson. Why we bring our next call in, Q, you know, so we got so much stuff happening right here. The Anti-Terrorism Bill Omnibus Act. Again, the Anti-Terrorism Bill Omnibus Act, which means the emotions a lot of people tapped into. If you look at the fine print, was used to stifle Mumia Abu's ability to challenge his status on death row. You got to get the fine print again. So it's like Jamal Jr. just said, that's just dealing with the health care, that's just dealing with the economics. Everything is political, y'all. We stick with us, Jamal Jr. So call me, bring on this call in. Call us in queue. We moving in groups. It's a hot time. We talking about the elections in Wisconsin. The impact of that. The election in Chicago, where you said the city, what I've been called a great melting pot, but you're talking about, man, I've been called a great divide. We're going to say with certain countries and the race and class contradiction, what surprises, upsets. What's your thoughts on it? Live in the record, Free Them All Radio. So, call up. You got callers in queue?
Now, Free Them All, Brother Chairman. No callers in queue. Callers, if you'd like to come into queue, please press 1. Mr. Checkpoint was online.
All I need y'all to call in with us 929-477-3785. Press 1. 929-477-3785. We got a couple of calls, a couple of events coming up too. I forgot, you know, I recall I was in Oakland some years back, and we came outside. This is about before I got locked up. This is 1989. And I said, what people all dressed up for? And we thought, what's going on? And I forgot. And I don't want to sound sacrilegious enough. It was Easter. I said, "Damn!" I said, "I be so moved." I forgot. I said, "Man, you can't get disconnected." But I see the people coming in. I was coming in Maywood this morning about 4:35 this morning. I left Waukegan. Stop, man. I said, "Sometimes I'm gonna pass the curve." I said, "You know, it's really no octopus. Can't be 8 places at one time." I tried to drive down there at the after party. After party, the video celebration, Mary Lake Brandon, Johnson, they say, well, Chairman, you know, you pull the things over, I try to pull through there. I come back in, sum that up, to come back in and pull it Maywood. I said, where they going? And they were going to church about 4:30 this morning, and I forgot. I said, what is that? They said, it's a big thing going on. You know what I'm saying? And not to be stereotypical. You know, you see how people go in crowds. You know, your first time. But they giving away what's going on, you know. So I'm like, man, what's going on? And they said, no, you know, it's Sunday, Easter Sunday. I said, okay. So that was this morning. So there's a couple of events going on, too. Okay, well, yeah, I just seen Cassandra Greer tap in, too, just as a matter of fact. I don't know if it's age range they talking about, children donations, y'all tap in. And you know, so I need a reminder where people can drop, you know what I'm saying? I know y'all can get them to have it out. Make sure, you know, they get out. But toys, bags, book bags, school, pens and papers, and you know, some other things. I'm always doing clothes. I forgot. But give me a reminder on that. Jacob Blake, have you tapped in? I need an update on Cortez Rice also. What's the status on Cortez Rice? Horrible accident late this night, late last night. I was so tired. You know what I'm saying? Jacob Blake called me. I keep my phones on. What happened to Brother Cortez? And you know, forgive me. I'm always with us. I want to check this. Was I break wires? Were they cut? You know what I mean? Because when you're in this line of work, y'all, you know, people said, people kind of, you know, it was a discussion. We think, make sure you know, give a bunch of dollars, get the food and coffee for us. I mean, this is not no paranoia. This is a history of you take into account Chicago in particular. When I was in prison, the guards had a thing turned at you. They called the Hell Washington trays. This is actually, the guards referenced it. They'll tell you, keep being a troublemaker. They're going to bring you a Hell Washington tray. This is the prison guards will tell you in prison. So, you know what I'm saying? And in 1994, I was in Big Muddy River, and they had bought this tray to me. Let me know, jump in to the car, whenever the caller can bring us right in. And I, the caller tells me to bring us right in, let me know. And the food, the breakfast used to come out 6:30 or whatever. They bought about 5-something. They hit what they call the charcoal, pancakes, peanut butter, sausage. Man, what holiday is this? None of the other prisoners had got their food. I said, why did they get all this food, this big breakfast? What holiday? So, said, you got your breakfast, chairman? I said, yeah, I got my, y'all ain't get no breakfast. I said, no. So I bang on the door. I said, man, where they food at? Don't worry, the guard said, don't worry about nobody else. Just worry about your food. I said, what? I said, man, get them their food. Then when the guard told me his name was, it was a CEO by the name of Cox. I'll never forget it. And Cox was notorious. And I said, that's Cox. He said, yeah. I said, oh, I'm definitely not eating this. So, and I had flushed it, and come to find out, Brian Stevens was working on my case at the time. I remember this here. He's the one that did the movie Mercy, Just Mercy, with Jimmy Fox and Michael B. Jordan. And he had to go work on Mumia Abu-Jamal's case because something was going down with Mumia Abu-Jamal. This is 1994. I remember it. And the guards will tell me, we're going to give you a Hell Washington trade. So, again, these are different things you just got to keep in context, y'all. Okay, so we're going to be moving and grooving, y'all. I need them contact information. We can get others on me, Abu-Jamal. We get their artists on deck. I need y'all to get on top of it, help us out. We need the people, because I'll be like, let's do it. And you know, so we're talking about the case of Lakeith Smith. We need people to pick up. You know, those are your marching orders. Let's roll with it. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's one of the dynamics that distinguishes revolution from war. War, you got to come in and check in with the colonel, with the lieutenant. You know, so what you do? Revolution is a climate. You know, so you see the ante is up. The vice lords doing a free medical center. What? Man, you heard about the disciples? They get a free breakfast program over there. What? You heard about the new son, James Brown, talking Black and Our Pride? It's a climate. We just saying? So I should be hearing about, hey, Chairman, the mural is up. It's ready to roll. It's ready to roll. It's on Sunset Street, man. The artist was Sunset. They did a big old mural with me, Abu-Jamal. August 30th, y'all. I ain't want to let the cat out the bag. You know what I'm saying? What you did, we going state to state. Talking about, man, painting the city Chairman Fred. I ain't saying painting the city red. We talk painting the city Chairman Fred everywhere. Real talk. Mills, and scorched earth. How they said Vietnam, scorched earth. We talk about painting the city Chairman Fred. That's right. So get ready to get on down. You know what I'm saying? Live and direct, y'all. What's happening?
Vietnam.
Y'all shocked. Okay. Come on with us, comrade.
Freedom All, we have Sister Cassandra on the line. Freedom All.
Welcome to Freedom All Radio. Sister Cassandra, how about you? How you holding up?
Man, Chairman, I'm floating. I had to call in to, you know, just tell you again, and you and Mother Queen Comrade Akua, I appreciate you all so much because you did something for the city of Chicago that you have never did before, and that publicly stand with an elected official, and he deserved that. And you just didn't stand with him as an elected official. You stood with him as Brandon Johnson. And, you know, so many people turned their back on him. I never saw so much coonery in my life in this city. You know, the true people, their colors truly came out. And, you know, I'm not ducking names. You know, it's people that I stood on the front line with that I never thought will go against this man, this black man that has did nothing but try to make our city better. And, you know, I'm not one to praise elected officials. I'm saluting a black man that has stood on the front line for us to deserve to get in the position that he got in. And he didn't get in there because of money or gift cards or gas cards or food. He got in there from pure people power and a higher being. So I just wanted to tell you, Chairman, that I thank you so much for stepping up when so many people turned their back, especially black men, turned their back on him. And I thank Queen Mother Akua for stepping up, because I know that that's not the norm for you all to do, but you all saw something in him that made you step up, and I'm forever grateful. And I know that he's forever grateful. He already told you that, but I wanted to just, you know, call personally and thank you, because when I brought Mr. Johnson to you, you know, you was hesitant. You didn't know. You know, so you said, yo, you're going to check him out. You came and you heard him speak. You see, and you like what you heard, because like you said, he was just a genuine person. He wasn't trying to sell no dreams. He wasn't trying to make no promises or nothing. He was just telling what we know is already happening here. So I just want to let you know that I'm forever grateful. And I thank you, because, you know, when it wasn't popular to support or stand with him, you did. And, you know, it was never really popular, because we were always the underdogs. But, you know, I believe in the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And that proved yesterday people power. Chicago stood up. And I'm forever grateful. I'm forever grateful to everybody in this city that voted for him. You didn't make the wrong choice. You know, you didn't let promises and lies and fake phony-ass politicians or supposed to be leaders sway your thoughts. You know, you had organizations like Black Men United, who I really used to respect, but how the fuck is your name Black Men United when you're standing with this white man that's endorsed by everything that's against us? You know what I'm saying? How, Jamal Green, I stood on the front lines with him. How the fuck is you standing with Paul Dallas when we were fighting against the FOP and everything that they did to our people, but you stood with this man? I'm talking about people like Tyrone Muhammad. Like, how are you an ex-con when you're standing with the people that want to keep us locked up? I don't understand none of this. But, you know, I'm not ducking no names. I'm not ducking no people. That's their choice. They made their choice. We stood up. We came out victorious. And I just want to let you know I thank you and I appreciate you. I thank people like Justin Blake, who stood out there, who was on the front lines with us fighting. I thank people like Tanya Watkins from Folded Action, Nate Sanders, all these people that was out there on the front lines with us. I'm talking about we were the underdogs. They were laughing. They were mocking us. They were getting millions of dollars, and we were just going off sheer people power, sheer people power. So I just want to tell you, Chairman, I thank you. I salute you. I honor you. You're a real black king. Mama Core, a real black queen. I'm forever grateful, and I just want to tell you that.
Revolutionary love, respect. Appreciation. Let me, you know, a little background. You know, just I just flash back again. You know, from the infamous Cook County Jail. You know, since I put in context of time and what they were saying with not only our people, the world was hit with this dynamic, this plan. What you say, the plandemic, and a lot of people know they're gonna live tomorrow. What, and the coronavirus? You know what I'm saying? And you're talking about, you know what I'm saying? You had to that poster, you know what I'm saying, your husband, Nicholas Lee, and like I say, a lot of people, put it in context of time, a lot of people know the world's going to go down, you know, the world going to end, so on and so forth. And Lenin has said it would take people 20 years to learn ordinary times. They learn in 2 years in revolutionary times. Contested conditions have happened. They continue to happen. And I'm, you know, and I sometimes I hate this about myself. I come down flirt with fire. I love learning. I don't want to heighten the contradictions, you know what I'm saying? And Chicago, I talked about this before, like, you know, the history of electoral politics, you know what I'm saying? I said, James, you don't do politics. No, we do politics, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything's political. Words, terms, fashion. Frank Sinatra said Chicago, this is his kind of town, the gangster, the cutthroat, you know what I'm saying, that goes down in it. And I try to, like, any apparatus, any tool, whether it be electoral politics, whether it be hip-hop, to make sure we deal with it, it don't deal with us. And, you know, everything, the time and location, like people say, like, when I go to different cities, people say, Chad, why you got different uniforms? I want to make sure I have something to distinguish the Black Panther Party Cubs, something else that's more playing with the legacy of the Black Panther Party. I go in, it's political. You know, how we come in, like, even our hats, it's political. You know what I'm saying? There's a uniform of the Cubs, so on and so forth. And even down to the timing, like politics, like real estate, time and location, like different hip hop artists. I would say, okay, I come on the stage. They said, come on. I said, no, wait for a minute. Dave Chappelle block party. When I came on the stage, how I came on the stage. You know what I'm saying? To put the distinguish, you know what I'm saying, that we use this for this tool of hip hop. And come, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to make sure, like I said, because sometimes, like in this, even this, like even in the electoral political field, like other reasons, a lot of people, they even just want to say the word black. I mean, that's like, you got to be a cult. You can say every other entity. And we've seen case after case where we like Ralph Ellis and Invisible Men and Women. And, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, man, the day of the election, I want to make you say where I was at, you know what I'm saying? We first missed by the red line. We touched down. And we'll talk details on, how it happened to Ada Park. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, I talked about it is a touchy spot with us, y'all, about electoral politics. It is. And it's, you know what I'm saying? I went to early vote in Olive Harvey, and the way I was treated, you know what I'm saying, and I overheard Cassandra Guerra, I heard you, she was talking to people about the poll, she said, how you doing, you know, welcome, blah. That's an aberration. And we got to talk about that, y'all, like, you know, why we don't engage, it's like the police have come through, they extra hot in our neighborhoods the day before election, you know what I'm saying? It's not by coincidence. And we have to talk about this, like, well, during the Fannie Lou Hamer, they would tell us how many jelly beans in the jar. We want to talk about this, so it's not even a lot of times the person himself, but the machine, and also to come in knowing that coming in with their limitations, it's set up a certain way. But to be able to extract certain concessions and certain discussions, like we said, well, is this person going to, now is the mayor, they're going to do this, they're going to make the sun, what about the weather in Chicago? Can they make it hot every day now? Listen, any phenomenon, any dynamic, I tell people, like, you know, you don't, an Isley Brothers song, you can't say, man, I don't listen to that music. They didn't get no relationship. They couldn't find a hotel for me. There are certain dynamics, you know what I'm saying, like ingredients, you know what I'm saying, the space to even have a discussion that can be utilized. Just even discussion in time, even acknowledge, you know what I'm saying, I mean, acknowledge black people, you know what I'm saying? And like I'm saying, and there's going to be some struggles. Let me be very clear, on that. But there's so many cases, whether it be music, whether it be, you know what I'm saying, people say other communities, they disrespected them. Whoopi Goldberg apologized for disrespecting certain communities. We say, damn, we know that you can even do that. You know what I'm saying? Just the image of you acknowledging black people, this is the stage in the game, especially in a city that races is one of the most, you talking about the red line and the property. We got to have these discussions, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And I thank you, sis, Sandra Greer, just to let even, like I say, it's certain moves and certain times. Like I say, you know, I tell you, my last name is Hampton, not Houdini, and I'm able to navigate in certain arenas. But at the same time, I never can compromise who I am. I tell you, I'm Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. gonna be on April 7th, April 1st. You know, this is my calling, and you know, I stated before he was mayor elect, I was gonna say, man, let Tom Parks really my thing. You know what I'm saying? And because and the respect was reciprocal. You don't see me surround on Jesus. Thank you, Chairman. And listen, we can have differences. I just, you know, saying, however, the respect in so many cases, our community is not being respected. So we're going to see the time to acknowledge that. And again, the five forces, you know what I'm saying, an arena just to have the space of the discussion that we, you know what I'm saying, do we exist, and damn, they're actually not existing. Is, you know, saying, you talk about the conditions in Cook County Jail, at least acknowledge that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna say, people say, well, how did you, your first contact? the Sorrow Museum. You came to, it was December 4th, I forgot. August 30th, I know those two dates. We have the Chairman Fred, I think it was December 4th. Then at the Hampton House, the historical landmark status. And you know what I'm saying? And like I said, I remember 2004 when there was a fight that had a street named after Chairman Fred. I literally remember all politicians. It was like a breaking process. I remember Alderman Bill. I remember them saying, I don't know who that is. I don't want to say nothing about it. They had people question, damn, who is Chairman? People were scared of me. They have a street name after Chairman Fred. 2004. Mm-hmm. And I remember even if people disagree with it, it was heartbreaking to see. John Deneen. Frank Canizzaro is over the FOP now. John Deneen was over the fraternal or the police then. You should have heard them. I remember on the radio, Alderman Ed Smith, I'm talking about the VON, Roland Monica. I remember this detail. They was like, I made a mistake. I thought I was a football player. Scared to say his name. These are grown men and women scared to say Chairman Fred. These are, adults. And I remember at City Hall, Dorothy Tillman, since they locked up. I can't believe this. I'm forgetting her name. Who am I talking about? 24. Both of them stood up in defense of the fight down the street. I can't believe this here. I'm gonna give you her name in a minute. But this, both of them. I remember this. There was so much that went down, and it was like, I'll give you her name. Give me her name in 1 minute. I can't remember. Both of them, they're still on the right side of history with that, and you know what I'm saying. And you think this is. Was a graphic of, he's like, damn, Chairman Fred was assassinated. The 5th of March was assassinated. And so just even acknowledge that. So again, and it's so much, y'all, again, just to have a discussion. And it's a hell of a time, you know what I'm saying? People say, well, man, what's your thoughts on it? You know what I'm saying? And again, I'm a realist, not a racist. We have to acknowledge this race contradiction, you know what I'm saying? Some people, that old thing about black people ice, not cold, white people ice cold, black people ice, that still sticks in the minds and hearts of certain people, you know what I'm saying? So we be ready for it. It's like throwing up. It's going to be stuff that you're like, damn, I know I felt this way. I know I thought this way. But these are conversations that must be had. Let's seize the time, y'all, you know what I'm saying? And encourage a welcome struggle, you know what I'm saying? And again, everything is political, even including electoral politics. You know, so that's why I made sure I was in the hood to touch down. When I shook his hand, it sticks in your mind. And a lot of times people say, man, even if people say, well, man, I got some struggles. Well, that struggle is opposed to most of the time people have seen politicians. Let's be honest, y'all. It's been, you know what I'm saying? This even seeing them at the Bud Billiken parade when they come through, and at the most you get a shirt, T-shirt thrown at you. You know what I'm saying? That's up to anyone. Entertainers, athletes, artists. You know what I'm saying? Right. Acknowledge, you know what I'm saying? It's no way. The conditions that's going on in Cook County Jail, the conditions in these schools, all these, you know what I'm saying? People, you know what I'm saying? Again, ain't selling no gift wrap. Everything is perfect. We want to, like I said, I'm real. I'm a tough critic because I hold a line. I am a revolutionary. You know what I'm saying? But I look back and say, being able to deal with certain forces, certain entities, and that respect. I'm real big about respect. You say, thank you. We say, no, I just got a potential relationship the other day where somebody was bringing a proposal to us to do something. They say, Chairman, that can benefit you financially. I said, man, you just smell that disrespect that came with that? I said, I'm good with that, man. This is like a clothing thing. So I said, man, what about this big clothing thing? You know, so I said, I hear you, man. I said, man, until we get used to it, you know what I'm saying? And we got to struggle for that. We got trouble for that, y'all. And it's the stage of the game, you know what I'm saying? We've seen when politicians would come through, entertainers, rappers, you know what I'm saying? It's a case right now, NLE, I forget his name. This young dude got two young ladies, he walked, get them by their weave. He walking both of them like they dogs. He got them by their hair weave. He walking, LLE, I'm talking about, this, he walking, and listen to the lyrics, it hurts. I'm saying, he walking like they dogs. And what they saying, I'm to the two young ladies, and you notice I ain't saying sisters or brothers. I ain't calling that. Because it comes a point in the stage in the game, y'all, we got to up the ante. We can't relate to no just simple race nationalism, you know what I'm saying? I ain't all this, everybody black, we all, no, no. It comes a stage in the game, like Kim Il-sung in North Korea said, told the U.S., no, the South Koreans, they with you. Well, North, you know what I'm saying? Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh, and G.I. said, no, they with you. It comes a stage in the game in our community, y'all, where lines have to be drawn. You say, okay, dig, man, it's a different dynamic, man. That's not that Rottweiler, that's a different, that's a sooner, what you mean a sooner, yeah, some dogs come just sooner, what you mean, sooner he sold his shit, you know what I'm saying, I don't know what breed he, I don't know, where the fuck he come from, and it comes to stage in the game, y'all, so let's up the ante, y'all, a different sort of, athlete, you know what I'm saying? I said, we don't even know nothing about these people. Man, I want, we don't start getting some civic classes. We should know who these people are. We, like, all, we should make a field to the city hall, you know what I'm saying? Let them, you know what I'm saying, touching down. You know what I'm saying? Let this be a common conversation. What are they talking about? What's a TIF? What is a tax increment fund? You know what I'm saying? What is stop and frisk? You know what I'm saying? What's the quote? Make it common every day. How? What is the zone? Is what? You know what I'm saying? How? Why that? How can a liquor store pop up in our community? Well, you know what I'm saying? Who's this? What are they doing? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What community is it? Man, a community. We go to church. No, you know what I'm saying? We just come to no emotional release. Like in a Catholic church, they go there, they see Father Ike, whatever, they say, hey, man, okay, man, my son got locked up. You know what I'm saying? Talk to such and such. You know what I'm saying? Man, the music. It should become an everyday discussion, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And again, this is a hell of a stage in the game. You know what I'm saying? And, that's a discussion. This is, I was commenting to you earlier, to grandson, being with you, Sandra, and I thought about, and you know, like, just people almost say this. And I'm not just saying just images, because I've said, well, you know, just Obama said that. I mean, this is a person who did an interview with Katie Couric, because she asked him, you black or American first? He said, Obama said American. And this is, you know, who only time he was addressed black people was on, black men, was on Father's Day at the church, church I'm trying to think of. But just the image, you know what I'm saying? I remember in elementary school, I'll come out the house on my mother's porch. When I watched him just walk down our block. I remember that. I remember that sticks in my mind. I remember that, you know what I'm saying? I remember going to school and the teacher saying, you got to sneak in. He said, you late again? I said, yeah. He said, I seen you on TV with the hair washing thing. I said, oh, he said, don't worry about it. You come on in, you know. I said, what? So I'm coming late every day after that. Then the hair washing was in the office, everything. He said, you can't come late no more now, you know. But these, so it's certain things in your mind. Some people have never even have no frame of reference. Some people never seen no black drug dealers, no black organizations. They don't see no black, I mean, literally. I mean, they have no concept of religion, everything. They have never even seen it. Let alone a black, you know what I'm saying? Black people, black, you know what I'm saying? So just, and I'm not talking an abstract way. So seize the time, and let's have it. And contradiction is all. Has and low, man. Ain't no gift without revolution. Ain't no perfect allies, y'all. But let's bust that fear factor to be able. Not that we look at electoral politics like it's that's like you're grown for this. Don't talk about it. Let's stay out of the room, mama. They in there talking. You know what I'm saying? They go in the room. We like block it off. We like block it off. You know what I'm saying? Okay, it's okay. Try to get back in. We lost. Okay, she we lost her. Back in. Try to call back in. I'm looking on time. Comrade, I'm looking on callers. Is she still on?
Grandma, brother Jimmy. Grandma, we got brother Stephen Lynn on the line.
Who?
Brother Stephen Lynn on the line.
Stephen Lynn. Okay, bring him on in. I think we lost Cassandra, bring her back in until you get to Stephen Lynn, Louisiana.
Bring him on, Tim.
You said Stephen Lynn? Is this Stephen?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to my radio, my brother. What's the update? How you holding?
Man, I'm doing good, man. We getting ready to do this rally for our brother Runner Green on Saturday.
Saturday, April 8th. Give it out, Stephen Green. Who is
Runner Green.
Remind listeners who that is.
In 2019, Ronald Green was murdered by the Louisiana State Troopers. They covered up, said he died in a car accident. But when the body count came out, they beat and dragged this fuck. There was five pigs that did it. One of them, when he found out they're going to be charged, he pretty much committed suicide and killed himself. And there was a big old cover-up thing. And when you say everything's political, this was political, man, because the governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards, knew about it, and he did nothing about it. And he'd been exposed, too. So the family fight was
governor of Louisiana?
2019.
You said the governor of Louisiana?
The governor of Louisiana knew about it, and he didn't say nothing to do with nothing about it. And he got exposed, too.
Yeah. Who was going to Louisiana? Remember, who was that again?
John Bel Edwards. Democratic.
John Bel Edwards, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the first things he did when he got in office was made a Blue Lives Matter law.
Huh.
And he came to our community.
Governor of Louisiana got to get that name put up again. We want justice for Ronald Green called into his office and give me a contact for you. Give us the code of Governor Louisiana. We want justice for Ronald Green. And where is that the demonstration being held that Saturday for Ronald Green, Louisiana?
It's going to be in Farmerville, Louisiana at the Union Parish Courthouse. The address is 100 East Bayou Street, Farmerville, Louisiana, 71241. And on April 11 at 9 o'clock, they're going to do the arraignment at the same place.
Keep me posted. I'm gonna see. You know me. I'm trying to get down there. I'm gonna try. Keep me posted. April 11, y'all. That's in what part of Louisiana?
Farmerville, Louisiana.
Farmerville.
Yes.
Your brother Steve Lynn, y'all. We missed the trip to get out of Channel Fresh Tombstone, Hainesville, Louisiana. Covered down. Always down there. I mean, covered down. Check them on Channel Fresh Gray. You know what I'm saying? Covered down. I'll tap in. Give me his contact information for my brother. Give me his contact information.
Well, man, you can find me on Facebook. My name is it's going to be on the Stephen W. Lynn. Lynn spelled L-I-N-N. I'm also on Instagram at 318 Steve.
Justice for Ronald Green. Just for them all.
Yes.
I need a hashtag. I need to put out everywhere, y'all. Y'all, Saturday and also April 11th, right? That's what it is. Yeah, no doubt. No. Yes, indeed. So, Vestry, my people close, definitely close to my people there. Farmerville, it is. If I say Stephen Lynn, it covers down. It's close to Channel Fred Berry. Down the Hainesville Street, all that. Hainesville Shreveport. Yeah, all this that area. Another place down there, too. Yep. Yes, indeed.
Yep.
I'm a brother. Okay, any other contact or closing information, updates?
No, that's about it for right now, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'll keep you posted on everything.
Thank you, my brother. We appreciate you, man. We appreciate love and respect and appreciation.
Right on.
Free them all, yo. We live in the red.
Free them all.
Just come red. Okay, Vestry. If we can't bring, I think, Cassandra, if you click up back in or other call, bring us, we got to back in before we close out. Does she come? Does she click back in?
I see them all. Yes, the mic is live here.
You back on? Sandra, you back on? She just got disconnected. Your phone, can you hear me? She's on Facebook. I didn't call her. Did she press? Did you call her back in? Press
one. Yes, she's on. The mic is live.
Oh, your mic is live, Cassandra. So you try to hang up and hit right back then, because she can see you. I guess you lie. Don't give me start talking about doing the technical stuff. She can see you in the not the Zoom.
She's not muted.
You say it is muted? She muted? She can press one?
No, the mic is open. I was asking maybe if she check her phone, she may be muted.
Cassandra, make sure you ain't get your mute button on. Cause she says she see you on it. She see you on there. They say she see you on there. If you can't, that was the other brother called back in too. Cassandra, you might get a hang up and call back.
Hear me? Can you hear me?
Hey, you there? You there?
Chairman, it's Tracy. I wanted to know if you can explain that the difference between electoral politics versus regular politics. Could you explain the difference between the two?
Politics is politics. Food, clothing, and shelter, your survival, how you view it, how you get it, how you do it. Food, clothing, the terms you use, if someone dies as opposed to assassinated, how you view the state, the system, how the state views you. How you view fashion, how you view beauty, how you view people. It's political, you know what I'm saying? The law, you know what I'm saying? How you view the law? If you believe that you're free, you know what I'm saying? What do you need to believe something is factual? If you need a white person to tell you that, that's political. You know what I'm saying? It's the political. How you were fed? Who gave you your first food? How you look at electoral politics? You know what I'm saying? It's political. It's, you know what I'm saying? Electoral politics is simply the process of engaging what people call it the democratic process of voting, the election of officials. But they'll say hairstyles, China, what period of China do you relate to? How you view men, how you view women, how you view black men, how you view black women. It's political. It's not just simply that of astrological, Virgo, Sagittarius. It's the dynamics of survival, the impact of, you know what I'm saying, who you relate to, who do you trust, you know what I'm saying, what's your automatic response when the news comes on? You say, so the police say someone does something, the generation that comes up on carjacking, that's political. You know what I'm saying? Because of the Grand Theft Auto games, the sort of video games they were given. You know what I'm saying? With food, you know what I'm saying? How they think to get food, you know what I'm saying? Or sometimes just even doing it. That's political. Do you steal or do you take? That's political. You know what I'm saying? Who do you take from? Who do you sympathize with? You know what I'm saying? When you hear of a case automatically, what triggers you to say, okay, well, I can see this. How you view race? Or do you view race? How you view a movie? You know what I'm saying? When you come in automatically, do you automatically just say criminalize black men or black people? You automatically find just the case of white people. You know what I'm saying? Light skin, dark skin, all that's political. It's not as simple as, you know what I'm saying, I just didn't feel this way. But your gut feeling is political. And it could be a result of someone being fed a generation before your first concept. Man. Shit, keep trying to get up. She's trying to get on now. Okay, shit. We got more than one call in queue. Could that be it?
We do have another
call in queue. Yeah. Did you see her still lit up? Is she still in the call in queue?
No. No, I mistook the
number. Okay.
So I don't see it at all.
Okay.
We do have a caller in queue.
Let's see if we can break. Okay. Try one more time. Try again. And then see if we bring her in. But yeah. Before they cut us on the radio show, try again. Cassandra didn't see it. Bring her in. Press one. And then so we can take out. How do you think we got in queue now?
Okay. We have Sister Monica on the line.
Welcome to my radio, and then if Cassandra pop in, just so we can click it in also. Welcome to my radio.
Hello, Fremont, can you hear me?
We appreciate you as well. Okay, right on. We're loud and clear. Yep. Okay, I got this. Cassandra, okay, get a message. Please wait, right on. Welcome to my radio.
Okay, Chairman, can you hear me? This is Monica Padula. How are you?
We're good on this here. How you holding up?
I'm doing okay. Monica Padula. I met you a few weeks ago when you came to Western Michigan for the Black Grad Student Association anniversary, and you spoke there, and
right.
I came up and let you know that I'm facing a case in KZU. and that I could really use some help,
yes,
support, and even some guidance. And so you told me to call into this show, and I've been trying to figure out for ever since then how to get onto this call, and I finally got it together today. So thank you so much for making this space and taking the call.
Forgive us. We've been going through some technical difficulties, sometimes political difficulties, but, yeah, forgive us on that. Give us. I don't know how long before they cut us off, but else, give us your court date, your first. I usually like to break it down with what's happening with you, but they make us off. Give us your court date. You have a court date.
Yes, it is April 18th. Now, that is the trial. It's April 18th. I have a settlement conference on April 14th, and I don't plan to settle, so I plan that the trial will be April 18th at 9 a.m. in Kalamazoo at the Ninth Circuit Courthouse, 227 West Michigan Avenue in Kalamazoo, Michigan, in Courtroom B. And I'm being tried by Judge, or it's being overseen by Judge Bridenstine.
Now, I don't know if you're on my Facebook, you're on Instagram, whatever with us. If you can, post that up there on our social media sites and get it out to us.
On Instagram.
I need somebody to cut us up, y'all. Give me an update on Cortez Rice also. I need that. We need that.
Now, what's your Instagram?
We need an update. Instagram is the chairman. No, it's official chairman, Fred Hampton Jr.
Okay, thank
yep.
you. And you want me to send that to you in the message?
No, can you post it up there? Can you post? Are you able to do that?
Or tag
you? Code information. Okay, tag. Yep.
Yeah, tag you. Okay. And long story short, I believe I'm experiencing political oppression. I believe I'm being held as an example to suppress the movement of activists, Black activists, especially in the city. I was a part of a mass arrest on October 8th of 2021. We were protesting the way that the city was using the police to terrorize the houseless encampments in the city, which do include our Black citizens. And so the first day I really showed up to protest one of the removals of one of the houseless people from a place where they were camping out, I actually encountered another fellow demonstrator who had been arrested, and he was having trouble breathing after his arrest. And so I went to try to advocate for him and see if he was okay and advocate for him to get medical care. And I was told to get back. They tried to keep me from really seeing what was going on with him. But I stood my ground, and I recorded, and I told them I wasn't moving. I wanted to make sure he got help. He was having a hard time responding, and I guess the officer decided to instead arrest me without announcing arrest. And so she just started, she assaulted me and maced me in my face at close range without announcing an arrest. And so I defended myself by returning mace spray to get distance between me and her. And during the course of that, I was de-arrested by the other individuals that were there demonstrating. All of this just happened, you know, one thing after the other. And when I was de-arrested and getting some space so I could figure out, you know, get my wits about me, another officer, a white male officer, ran up behind me and I couldn't see. And he grabbed me around my shoulders and body slammed me to the ground. I ended up having a sprained scapula and thoracic sprains to my back after that. I was incarcerated over the weekend and I was denied medical care, phone call, and wash for the mace spray that I still had on my face for the first 20 hours of the incarceration. I'm being held currently with four felony charges and a misdemeanor is what they are trying to press charges against me for. For the past year and a half, I've been really rallying to try to help people see the truth, see what is happening, to wake up, to support and pressure the prosecutor to drop these charges. But here we are a year and a half later, and we're going through with trial. So I could really use support. I could use guidance, you know, just to hang in there. And I did get in touch with the People's Law Office to get a little feedback from them about what they thought about legal strategy, because I do have a public defender. So this is where it's at now, T-minus 13 days until trial. So we're trying to pack the courts, and we're also trying to get the change.org petition signed. If people have time to go on to change.org, the name of the petition is Drop the Charges Against HOTOP 10, HOTOP 10. There were originally 10 of us that were arrested, and now I'm the last one.
What's the name again? Change the charge. Say it again.
The name of the petition
say the name
is
again,
Drop
if
the
can,
Charges.
Please.
Yes, Drop the Charges Against HOTOP 10, H-O-T-O-P, the number 10. Hotop is the name of the street where the protest took place, where we were all arrested. I'm the last one standing with all assigned charges. I was offered a plea deal, but the plea deal was to drop all the charges if I plead to a felony, and the felony was felonious assault of an officer with a dangerous weapon. They say because I defended myself with mace spray, that was a dangerous weapon. One of the other charges I have is also felonious assault with a dangerous weapon, and that's because I was carrying a flag. And so they use that to say that I hit the officer in the head with a flagpole, although that didn't happen. When she attacked me and grabbed me, I dropped the flag, and so it tapped her on her shoulder because I lost control of it. And so they've really built up this case against me, and, you know, the public defender really doesn't have a lot of seems to not really have a strategy built up and encouraged me to take the plea and said that that was probably in my best interest. And I said, no, I will not take that plea because that puts me at risk of even more danger the next time I come into contact with the officer. And they've already built up this bias that I'm a person that fights officers. So that's where I'm at right now.
Let me sidetrack one second. Just forgive me for this here. Justice Howell. So Mother Toya, that's the case I was in Waukegan for yesterday. Justice Howell, forgive me, y'all, I was out of brain earlier. Justice Howell, Toya, that's the case in Waukegan. My brain's going to do it. Man, love, man, appreciate you as well. Give us this, now, the case at hand, you're in Kalamazoo. Kalamazoo is right next to Detroit, correct? Kalamazoo is how far from Chicago? You know?
Yes, it's two hours each way from Detroit and Chicago.
Okay, give us a last contact information once again, and that court date again, so people send people and what people who may not can be there physically, what can do support.
Absolutely. So what we're asking for is this: we're asking people to kind of do a few things. One of the things we're trying to do is to get people to actually call in to the prosecutor and tell them that they think that the charges should be dropped based on they think that the trumped up charges were unjust to begin with. The prosecutor is named Jeff Getting, G-E-T-T-I-N-G. He's the prosecutor in Kalamazoo. I'm being tried by his assistant prosecutor, Amy Shepherd. That's one thing we're asking people to do is to contact prosecutor Jeff Getting to get the charges dropped and put pressure on him from that end. The other thing we're doing is asking people to sign the petition on change.org. It's called Drop the Charges Against Hotop 10, H-O-T-O-P number 10. It's got 1,974 signatures, looking to get upwards of 2,000. And there's information on there as well about everything I'm talking about. Lastly, I can be contacted through a few ways. My Instagram is Moni Says, M-O-N-I-S-A-Y-Z. I'm also on TikTok on that same handle, Moni Says, M-O-N-I-S-A-Y-Z, and I've made TikToks about this as well. You could also contact the BLM KZUBC, Black Lives Matter, KZUBC on Instagram or Facebook if you're looking for more ways to help or to stay tuned. We'll be sharing things that people can do to support there.
So you're right, y'all. Another history book, y'all. And let me close out with this shout out. Man, this brother Johnny, who played in the movie Judas and Black Messiah, him and his mother, man. So they came through yesterday. Man, they came up to Waukegan. They came yesterday. Came out to come back in Chicago. You know, what I'm saying, last night, get in late, close event. You know what I'm saying? They came back to have to get a tour before they left. This young brother, man, phenomenal young cat, man. Again, y'all, man, shout them out. You know what I'm saying? I want to shout y'all out, the people in general. Y'all, let's keep updated. We missed a few things about the Trump indictment and also the Wisconsin election. So, no point with that. You got y'all marches. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, would you want all case updates in Chicago? You know what I'm saying? How do you feel about it? Historical times. You know what I'm saying? That's how discussion, that's heightened the contradiction. Not just discussion, not just a bunch of, as Chairman Fred called, intellectual masturbation. No one just talking. And, you know what I'm saying, tying it into some work and saying, again, heightened some contradictions, y'all. The spirit of making history, taking history, taping history, y'all. Keep your hands up. Eyes on the fifth, please, another episode of Freedom All Radio. April 5th, 20th. Oh, I can't not forget April 4th was assassinated Dr. King. Man, you know what I'm saying? Let's keep that in context too on the community calendar, y'all. Keep your head up, eyes on the fist, because y'all, what's the call? Free them all.
Free them all. Sorry about that, Brother Chairman. It skipped on me.
Shit, tired of getting shot at, tired of getting chased by the police and arrested. Niggas need a spot where we can kick it, a spot where we belong, that's just for us. Niggas ain't gotta get all dressed up and be Hollywood. You know what I mean? Where do niggas go when we die? Ain't no heaven for a thug nigga. That's why we go to Thug Mansion. That's the only place where thugs getting free, and you gotta be a G at Thug Mansion. My place has been my quiet night. Time to unwind, so much stress in this life of mine. I cried times, I once contemplated suicide and would've tried, but when I held that knife, all I could see was my mama's eyes. No one knows my struggle, they only see the trouble. Not knowing it's hard to carry on when no one loves you. Picture me inside the misery of poverty. No man alive has ever witnessed struggles I survived. Praying hard for better days, promise to hold on. Me and my dogs ain't have a choice but to roll on. We found a finally spot to kick it, where we can drink liquor and know what bickers over trick shit. A spot where we can smoke in peace, and even though we geez, we still visualize places that we can roll in peace. And in my mind's eye, I see this place, the players going fast. I got a spot for us all, so we can ball at the Thug Mansion. Fights in the darkness, trouble spark. They tell me home is where the heart is, they departed. I said tattoo tears and couldn't sleep good for multiple years. Witness tears, cats, gunshots, nobody cares. Seen the politicians' banners, they'd rather see us locked in chains. Please explain why they can't stand us. Is there a way for me to change? Or am I just a victim of things I did to maintain? I need a place to rest my head with the little bit of homeboys that remain. Cause all the rest there. Is there a spot for us to grow? If you find it, I'll be right behind you. Show me and I'll go. How can I be peaceful? I'm coming from the bottom. Watch my daddy scream peace while the other man shot him. I need a house that's full of love when I need to escape the deadly place of playing drugs. It's us, man. I'm in heaven and they ain't got hood. Seen a show with Marvin Gaye last night. It had me shook, dripping peppermint snaps with Jackie Wilson and Sam Cooke. Then some lady named Billie Holiday sang, sitting there kicking it with Malcolm to the day came. Little Natasha show grown, said a lady in the liquor store that she's forgiven. So come home, maybe in time you understand. Only God can save us when Miles Davis cutting loose with the band. To think all the people that you knew in the past that passed on, they in heaven found peace at last. A place that they exist together. There has to be a place better than this in heaven. So right before I sleep, dear God, wear the mask and remember this face. Save me a place in the mansion.